from Nashville, Tennessee. This is Keep Asking, the weekly podcast that helps you dive in a bit deeper and wider into the research providing insights into today's church and culture. I'm here today with my colleagues Scott McConnell and Casey Oliver today to talk about sin. I will be super disappointed if this isn't one of our most downloaded episodes ever. Welcome back, guys. Everybody doing great?
Doing good.
Yep.
How excited are the three of us about getting to discuss such a saucy topic today?
It's one of those terms people throw around, and why not find out what it really means?
Okay. How about you, Casey? Just a little nervous, a little edgy, not knowing where we're going to go with this?
Oh, yeah, a little.
Okay. I forgot to tell you guys. we have a sponsor this week. We're doing giveaways of the CSB. So let me do my, I'm reading from a sponsor voice. The sponsor for this week's episode is the Bible. The Christian Standard Bible. The Bible is meant to be read, understood, and shared, so your translation of God's Word should be true to the original and one you like to read. The Christian Standard Bible captures the Bible's original meaning without compromising clarity. An optimal blend of accuracy and readability, this translation helps readers make a deeper connection with God's Word and inspires lifelong discipleship. So, good news is we're giving away some of those.
Woohoo!
The new study Bible that they have. So good job.
So you're saying we actually have a prize closet?
Yes, we have. We have a prize.
That's it. Quite an upgrade. I've not explored that yet.
Yes, the Keep Asking prize closet. So we're going to be giving away some of the new CSB study Bibles, and basically, the threshold to get one, I'm going to make it pretty basic. You just have to tweet and tag either one of us, and we'll give those at the end of the show. Or at Lifeway Research, and you have to tag at CS Bible. So you put both of those, we'll be able to see it, and the first few of those, you know, and this way we can kind of connect on those things that are pretty exciting, like reading the Bible and sin.
I was reading from the CSB this morning.
I've enjoyed
the book of
it.
Micah.
Me too.
Is this terrible to say? But I'm surprised at how much I'm enjoying it. Like, it's really noticeable.
Yeah, makes a big difference to
me,
too.
Yeah, so it's because I thought, oh, this is going to, because they had worked so hard on some previous work, but they've done just a really great job with it. Okay, so since we're on the topic of sin today and discussing that people can have different views of sin, here's my question for you guys, though. Set up. What are some potentially effective ways to promote Lifeway Research's Keep Asking podcast that could also be questionable or a sin? So effective, yet sinful. So let me go ahead and start because I already had a few in mind. So I was wondering this morning as I was thinking about this, if we shouldn't just apply to iTunes and get the little red E for explicit put by the Keep Asking podcast label, and then we start sprinkling a variety of cuss words throughout the recording each week.
Well, for some people, religion itself is offensive. So, you know, since we tend to talk about religion in some way, shape, or form every week, it's one of those things where we could probably earn that rating.
Right. There we go. So, Casey?
That doesn't, yeah. I don't know. Maybe my standard's too low, but that one doesn't seem like it's too bad. Yeah.
But how about the part where we add cuss words in? Does that make you a little nervous?
Oh, I kind of miss that.
I'm just saying, you know, take it a little bit more.
I just keep waiting for you to throw one in right now. Like, really I decided this was the right thing to do, and now.
And so now I'm going to just drop one, and then, yeah. No, because I like being employed, so how about that? What are some other things? Like, when you're kind of thinking about how to promote something, what are some things where you're nuancing and wondering? Some might say that's a sin, some not.
Just misleading headlines. I mean, that's obviously that we tweet. You know, we can say something's there that's not, and probably not that different than, well, no, you were actually going to put the words into the podcast. So it's not like the explicit lyrics. You were going to do it.
Yeah, I just think that's sort of where my head went to, as well as kind of that clickbait. you know, you won't believe what Lizette said in our latest.
Well,
which that might be true.
Right. Well, so when I put the picture quotes of sometimes ridiculous things you say, mm-hmm. and you know, when I tweet out things, I like to do it. Scott, by the way, retweeted me for the first time. Was it this weekend?
Was that a first?
That was a first.
I didn't notice.
You had replied once. He's replied to me on Twitter once. And then I saw the retweet and I thought, 9 years in and, oh, actually, I think today is my 9-year anniversary.
Wow. Congrats.
Here we go. I'm going to get us focused here for a moment, but
don't get choked up on us.
I know. A little weepy. All right. Well, let's get to, we asked 1,000 Americans, which of the following best describe them? And the number, well, and it's just different variations of I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner and I'm fine with that. I'm a sinner and I work on being less of one. I'm a sinner, and I depend on Jesus Christ to overcome that. I am not a sinner. Sin does not exist. Prefer not to say. All right? So what jumped out to you guys in this?
I think just even two-thirds of people having a recognition saying, I am a sinner, you know, that's interesting to me. I don't know what my frame of reference was for what I was expecting that to be, but I think that that's just interesting that people have that sort of conviction that, yeah, there's something, you know, there's a difference between my ideal self, I guess, at the very least saying that and who they really, you know, act as every day.
Right. And that, yeah, I had not even picked up on that, on that's a percentage higher than we would see in church attendance or even those claiming to be, you know, Christian. So there's a pretty, maybe a broader acceptance of a sinful nature than I would have thought.
The impetus for this question actually came from, I was waiting in line outside of a Predators game. So, you know, kind of a raucous hockey crowd, you know, filing in. And there was a street preacher out there on the corner. And they had a sign with, you know, condemning some specific sin. And they were kind of yelling out. And, you know, one of the fans near me, you know, just kind of says to his friends, all right, sinners, let's go on into the game kind of thing. And, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, yes, if I was stereotyping them, they may be living a more sinful life. But at the same time, it was just kind of that contrast of, you know, are there people that say, yeah, I'm a sinner and I'm fine with that? Or is it something they're actually grappling with? Or do they just deny the whole conversation? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we do find that very few people say that they're fine with being a sinner, just 5% of Americans. We actually have more people saying that they're not a sinner or mm-hmm. that sin doesn't even exist.
Which I'm going to just say that 10% of the people walking around, I don't even mean this from a faith, a high standing point of view, but 10% of people walking around saying sin doesn't exist tells me either I need to be more alert for dangers that are out in everyday life or that there's a heavier meaning or something a little bit more contrive to it. And, you know,
well, one of the groups that's high on that are non-religious people. A third of non-religious people say that sin does not exist. And so not only are they rejecting Christianity and other religions, they're rejecting our framework and our vocabulary as we talk about that. And so while Christians believe that status of being a sinner applies to everyone, as we read in Romans 3:23, we've got to understand that not everybody's going to accept that label. Not everybody's going to accept that terminology.
Yeah, and I guess, let me see if I can drag some of my schooling. Like, I think when in Genesis, when you are, and I'm kind of making this up, it's been a couple of years, but.
That's encouraging. You're going to start talking about the Bible, and then you said,
yes,
I'm just making this up.
But when talking about sin, and it was talking about autonomous, like autonomous, but the emphasis on sin was one's own law as opposed to obedience to God's law. So it wasn't even, it goes deeper than you know, an action, it's living by a different rule, set of rules or authority, which you've created, which then makes more sense if we see people saying, oh, sin doesn't exist, they may very much be thinking, well, I'm not going by anyone else's definition of that. Casey, how about you?
What do you mean?
We were expecting some confessions about now.
Right, yeah. You just mean what else stands out?
Yes. Or if you wanted to. And by the way, we want to congratulate you on your second puberty that you're...
Right here. That hurts.
But we think you've got a great radio voice. We're thinking this
is a struggle, but hopefully.
But you're a team player and you're in. Mm-hmm. All right. But you're a stats guy. What?
I think one of the things, just seeing, men being more likely to buy into workspace righteousness, I thought that was interesting. So, you know, overall, we had 34% saying that they're sinners and they're working to be less of one, whereas 28% saying that they're a sinner and they're depending on Jesus Christ to overcome that. For men versus women, women are actually slightly more likely to be saying they're depending on Jesus versus working to be less of one, but the opposite's true for men. I thought that was just kind of, you know, they're not huge, huge variations in terms of the percentages, but I thought that was interesting that sort of the dominant one was different between the two genders.
And we'll have, in the show notes, we'll have a definition for huge, huge in there, because I know, Casey, using that stats language, I think you're softening up on our listeners. I think you're making it easier for them. I think that's good. I think you're making it kind of palatable. So I'm assuming huge, huge means statistically significant, but not stunning in the number difference. See, huge, huge is easy to understand. We've had some other research that has touched on this on our theology research, but I didn't look that up because I was counting on one of you guys to do that.
No, we did some research just a few months back with Ligonier Ministries on the state of theology in America. And when we asked Americans about sin, one of the things we see is that it's one of the biblical topics that is not that popular. We can find a lot of Americans believe in God. A lot of Americans believe God authored the Bible. We have a lot of Americans that believe other true things that are biblical things. But when it comes to sin, that's when people stumble a bit. Only 19% of Americans, so that includes a lot of Christians, only 19% of Americans agree that even the smallest sin deserves eternal damnation. Which is, which is kind of a premise of the biblical narrative, which is that we all fall short of the glory of God, even if it's just one small thing. We don't deserve to be in God's presence if that's the case. Even when we talk about heaven and hell, we see that 60% of Americans believe that heaven is a place for all people, where all people will ultimately.
Oh wait, now what was the percentage again on that?
6 out of 10 Americans. So it's a place where all people will be reunited with loved ones, which for those who do believe in Christ, yes, we'll get to see, you know, many, many people that we've seen here on earth. So there's kind of that disconnect between, and I guess I should share the hell number as well.
That's it. We got our first cuss word in.
Four in 10 Americans agree that hell is an eternal place of judgment where God sends all people who do not personally trust in Christ. Mm-hmm. So that statement would be biblically correct, but only 4 in 10 Americans agree.
Okay.
We have that divide there that when these Christian beliefs, these biblical beliefs start stepping into that territory of using the sin language, using language of punishment, that's when Americans kind of back off and go, whoa, wait a minute.
One of the things that we saw in our discipleship research that we've done for several years is the significance of confessing sin and admitting wrongdoing to how that impacts the rest of your spiritual growth and the growth in other areas of discipleship. And I think if logically that just makes sense because it requires a vulnerability and a recognition it's not your own way, you know, and regardless of what those sins are, doing that. The other thing I noticed as I was looking back through that is that the questions that related to confessing sins also, well, they fell into that area of obeying God, denying self. So recognizing sin, addressing sin is, I mean, it's a part of that process of obedience. So it's not just falling to that, you know, I was hanging in there, but then I failed. It's important for our growth, and we've got to be engaging in that. And also that the more you do that, your Bible engagement goes up, you know. So I think as you're looking to that growth, so just even looking back at those things, I was encouraged about, well, I wasn't encouraged about my own sin, but I was encouraged in the hopefulness that, you know, sticking in there and being vulnerable to God and vulnerable in those admissions is healthy and good spiritually for us.
I guess the one other thing that I thought was interesting was I was looking at a Pew study from a few years ago that was talking about the percentage of Americans who say that particular actions are morally unacceptable or acceptable. But they also provided that out of not a moral issue. And what I found interesting was for Americans, when that's applied to specific behaviors, they tend to reject that notion of sin maybe more than in the general sense, which we talked about, you know, earlier. For instance, for gambling, they'd say, you know, 47% of Americans say that's not a moral issue. So they're not framing it in terms of, is this morally acceptable or unacceptable? They're saying, well, I don't see morality there at all, kind of coming into play. And that's different from the world as a whole, where only 19% of the world says the same thing, that gambling isn't a moral issue. So, you know, regardless of where people come down on some of those specific things that they're listing out, it's just interesting that that's not the framework that, even if they believe in sin as a concept, that's not the framework that Americans are necessarily thinking through every problem from.
I think for ministry leaders, as you look at data like this, the teaching moment is to say, you know, anytime that a term is important to your ministry, you need to know the different ways people interpret it. And, you know, as we look at this data, we're clearly seeing that when people hear the word sinner, there's definitely some people are thinking that's a type of person or a set of actions and or even a religious framework. And so for some people, they don't want to be associated with any of those things. And others understand the framework and are willing to accept it. And so then the conversation is, what are they doing about it? And that can be true of a lot of other terms that we use to describe our ministry or to describe how we're doing our ministry. And if people are perceiving those in different ways, we may not be communicating as effectively as we think we are.
That's good stuff. Good stuff. Well, guys, we're out of time. So as we wrap up, let's return once again to our sponsor this week, the Christian Standard Bible. The CSB is for everyone, for readers young and old, new and seasoned. It's a Bible pastors can preach from and a Bible you can share with your neighbor hearing God's word for the very first time. You'll find the CSB to be highly trustworthy and deeply satisfying. Remember, we're giving away some copies of the CSB Study Bible to listeners who tweet to us and tag at CS Bible and at Lifeway Research. And thanks everyone for listening. If you have any questions, please tweet to us at S McCon, at Statsguy Casey, and at Lizette Beard, or at Lifeway Research. Write reviews on iTunes and be sure to tell your friends and family. Get the word out far and wide about our podcast. Join us next time for another edition of Keep Asking. Keep asking, learn more, do better.